take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
The Brooke Melville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Melville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Thursday, December 18th, 2014, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Thank you so much for being with us. And we'd like to welcome on a new member of the 420 Radio sponsorship family, vapes.buzz. That's right, our first .buzz domain finally purchased. And vapes.buzz, we'll get you more information on them in the coming weeks. But check them out for all of your vape needs. Vapes.buzz, B-U-Z-Z. All right, on today's show, all sorts of great stuff to bring to you in the cannabis community. And of course, it's a Thursday, and every other Thursday, we visit with members of Law Enforcement Against Prohibition in our Cops Say Legalize Drugs segment. Today, we've got Leo Lawrence joining us. Very interesting fellow. Been a guest on the show a couple of times already. He's a former deputy sheriff with a law degree down there in, I guess he still has his badge, so I guess he's not so much former. But he's got a law degree. He's down in San Diego, California. Once infiltrated and worked with the biker task forces down there in San Diego. So we'll have an interesting conversation with Leo about the drug war and police in general. There's a lot of talk about policing in this country between the militarization and the threats to some communities from that they feel from the police. So we'll talk to him, get his opinions on that. Also on the show today, we are going to take a look at the persecution of Angela Brown. She is the Minnesota mom who is treating her son's traumatic brain injury with cannabis oil. Everything she's doing will be perfectly legal under Minnesota's medical marijuana law, but for some reason, the county prosecutors still want to go after her. A good friend of the show and one of our dedicated listeners, Michael Hughes, is an attorney from Bend, Oregon, goes by Speed Limit in our chat room, and there's a few quotes from him in the media as well. We'll cover that in Behind the Headlines. Also on the show today, we're going to go into the drug war data mines and take a look at some research done by the good folks at O'Shaughnessy's, the leading periodical for medical cannabis. They did a review of 19 selected vapor pen refill cartridges from dispensaries in Southern and Northern California. And we're going to get the reviews on those vapor pen cartridges, including what's the best bang for the buck. Will we be paying the least amount per milliliter of THC? So we'll check that out in our drug war data mining. We will also be bringing you a look at the laws in Washington State, I-502. And what are the restrictions on advertising for pot shops? Well, you're going to find out now that it's more restrictive than pornography. you actually have more freedom advertising a strip club in Washington State than you would a pot shop. So we'll talk about that in the Radical Rant. It's legal now. Can we stop treating it like it's evil? But all that begins with our 420 Radio news. And in the headlines today, Nebraska and Oklahoma are suing Colorado over legalization. Michigan's legislative session ends today with the last chance for edibles and dispensaries. New Yorkers are going to have to wait till 2016 to get their medical marijuana. Research from Italy shows how a fungus might be similar to marijuana. And researchers looking for volunteers in Indiana to scan their brains and determine if pot has turned them into fried eggs. All of that plus Hour 2 Toker Talk Radio coming up at 4 o'clock, and our daily Toker Tunes for Groovin' Thursday featuring Chuck Diesel. We'll bring that to you at 4:20 Pacific Time. All right, we're going to take a break. We're back in less than 90 seconds with the 4:20 Radio News. Stick around.
To the Russ Melville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
420 Radio. Tune in, turn on, get high, Lee educated. Five of the last nine major party candidates to run for president, three of the last nine vice presidential candidates, and the last three two-term presidents have all smoked pot. Marijuana, the gateway drug to the White House. This is the Russ Belville Show. FourTwentyRadio.org is proud to replay Professionals Against Prohibition with Jen Jackson from Raleigh, North Carolina. Meet today's most interesting activists in drug law reform and find out what creative means are being used to heighten public awareness of the need for drug law reform. Catch the replays Thursday at 10 Pacific on 420radio.org.
Hey, this is Willie Nelson for Norman, and I smoke pot and I like it a lot. I learned a long time ago that marijuana is a lot safer than alcohol. There's nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana by adults. It's time we stopped arresting and started respecting those who smoke marijuana responsibly. To learn what you can do to help, contact Normal at NORML.org or call toll-free 888-67-NORMAL.
It's time for the 420 Radio News, covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Transcripts of 420 Radio News are available daily on our website at 420radio.org. Now, here's Russ Belville with your marijuana headlines in 4 minutes and 20 seconds. This is your 420 Radio News for Thursday, December 18th, 2014. Nebraska and Oklahoma are asking the U.S. Supreme Court to strike down Colorado's laws legalizing recreational marijuana. The Colorado Attorney General's office says the states have filed the lawsuit directly with the nation's highest court. The Attorney General's office says the lawsuit alleges, quote, that Colorado's Amendment 64 and its implementing legislation regarding recreational marijuana is unconstitutional under the Supremacy Clause of the U.S. Constitution, end quote. Colorado Attorney General John Souther said in a statement that he will defend the state's legalization of marijuana. In a news conference Thursday, Nebraska Attorney General John Brunning said marijuana from Colorado is turning up in Nebraska, resulting in an increase in marijuana-related arrests on his state's western border. Quote, I am adamantly against the spread of marijuana across our country, Brunning said. Nebraska taxpayers have to bear the cost. We can't afford to divert resources to deal with Colorado's problem. It's the end of the road for the Michigan legislature's 2013-14 legislative session, which is set to conclude with the final House and Senate meetings today. Any bills not approved by the end of the day, or perhaps the wee hours of Friday morning, will end up on the ash heaps of history, or they'll be resurrected next year. House Bills 5104 and 4271 would allow for the return of regulated medical marijuana dispensaries and allow registered medical marijuana patients to use edibles. Parts of the bills would also allow medical marijuana cardholders to sell up to 50 ounces of excess product. Law enforcement compared that provision with a person who is prescribed OxyContin being allowed to take 3 pills and sell the rest of the bottle back to someone else. The bills passed the Michigan House of Representatives back in December 2013 and have been sitting in the Michigan Senate for about a year. New Yorkers seeking legal medical marijuana will have to wait at least another year to get it, state officials said today. State officials said they cannot allow patients to get the drug from other states before New York's medical marijuana program begins operating in January 2016. Compassionate Care New York, an advocacy group, says some severely ill patients cannot wait that long. It has been asking state officials to give them access to the drug on an emergency basis before the state's medical marijuana program is operating. Alfonso David, the state's deputy secretary for civil rights, said advocacy groups wanted the state to bring in medical marijuana from other states immediately. Quote, we determined as a matter of law we could not do that, end quote, he said. New York legalized medical marijuana in June and released proposed regulations for the medical marijuana program today. State officials say they expect the regulations to be approved in February. Mauro Maccaron of the Campus Biomedico University of Rome, Italy, and colleagues have revealed that black truffles, the gourmet fungus hunted for with pigs, produce anandamide.
That's the compound that triggers the release of mood-enhancing chemicals in the human brain and does so using the same biological mechanism as tetrahydrocannabinol, THC, the chemical responsible for producing the mind-bending effects of marijuana. The researchers were intrigued when their tests revealed the truffles had the means to make anandamide and contained the chemical, but did not have the receptors to which it binds, and that would allow it to trigger effects. Macaron believes truffles use it to attract animals to eat their fruiting bodies, so their spores are spread more widely and they have a better chance of reproducing. Truffles rely on being unearthed and eaten by animals so that their spores are spread in their dung. Researchers at Indiana University in Bloomington are recruiting current and former marijuana users to participate in a study in which their brains will be analyzed for changes in structure and function. The study, funded by a $275,000 grant from the National Institutes of Health, is taking place as marijuana is gaining more acceptance in some parts of the country. The IU researchers, who will use magnetic resonance imaging or MRI techniques to conduct the study, are recruiting 90 people, ages 18 to 35, to participate in their research. Along with current and past users of marijuana, the study, which is one of the first of its type, will include people who've never used the drug. Study participants will undergo a series of brain scans so that the research team can do connectivity analysis. Prior to brain scanning, participants will undergo tests of perception, thinking, and memory, and take a questionnaire about problems they may be having, such as strange hallucinations. This has been your 420 Radio News for Thursday, December 18th, 2014. I'm Russ Belville. Radio, the world's voice of marijuana legalization.
There's so much I worry about as a mom. Stephen Harper thinks that organized crime should continue to profit from marijuana prohibition. Imagine regulating marijuana like alcohol and cigarettes with a strong and clear educational message, making it more difficult for my kids and your kids to access. Drug dealers don't ask for ID. Stephen Harper does not have the kind of judgment we need to protect our children, authorized by the Normal Women's Alliance of Canada.
Georgia.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson. Alcohol prohibition didn't work in the 1920s, and marijuana prohibition isn't working today. It's time we stopped arresting responsible marijuana smokers. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORMAL, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
The Russ Belville Show reminds you to never smoke and drive impaired. Hang out for a while. Share.
Welcome back, everyone. 13 and a half after the hour. And today, as we go behind the headlines, we take a look at the persecution of Minnesota mom Angela Brown. If you were with us for hour two, Toker Talk Radio yesterday, you heard directly from Michael Hughes of Bend, Oregon, who is the attorney representing Angela Brown. And Michael Hughes is also a good friend of the show and shows up in the second hour in our chat room under the handle Speed Limit. So if you see Speed Limit in the chat room, that's Michael Hughes, the attorney for Angela Brown. He joined us on the show yesterday to give us an update on the motions he filed, and now the information has made it to the Grand Forks Herald, and just wanted to give you some info from that. If you're looking at our webcam, you can see Angela on the far right, as well as her husband David in the middle, and her 15-year-old son Trey on the left. And she, Angela, the mom, is treating Trey, the son, for a traumatic brain injury. Sorry, too many things going on. A traumatic brain injury he suffered when he was hit with a baseball a few years ago, two or three years ago. And because of this, she is now facing prosecution. So Michael Hughes filed motions in the district court to dismiss the charges against her, which include child endangerment because she gave CBD oil to her brain-injured 15-year-old. Michael Hughes and Angela Brown made their way to the Pantry Cafe in downtown Madison, where they met with reporters and said they are prepared to go to trial if necessary. Angela Brown asks the reporters, quote, "How is endangering your child taking his pain away? If someone answers that for me, fine, charge me. But until someone can explain to me how preventing pain is wrong, then I will continue to plead not guilty," end quote. Now, the county she lives in has filed two gross misdemeanor charges of endangering a child, permitting a child to be present when possessing a controlled substance, and contributing to the need for child protective services. And here's the ironic reason why this happened. The boy had been hit. The 15-year-old kid had been hit. What was this? 2011, was it? I lost the date, but the April of 2011. He was hit by a baseball. And he, you know, of course, suffered from his injury and was having problems in school. And so she went to Colorado to get cannabis oil. And she brought the cannabis oil back and was using it in Minnesota to treat her son. So her son starts doing better, right? I mean, previously, he was having such great pain that he was self-harming, right? He'd be curled in a fetal position. He broke his nose. He broke his clavicle and had suicidal ideation. The mom says, quote, "He flat out said, I don't want to live. I can't deal with this pain anymore," end quote. And the mom had tried 19 different prescriptions on the boy. 19 different prescriptions to no avail. 4 months of horrific suffering that he had from some of the prescribed medications. And then goes and finds that a drop or two of cannabis oil takes care of the kid's pain. He's laughing, he's enjoying life, and of course his concentration improves because he's not in severe pain, and he starts doing better in school. So the school people wanted to know what was going on, what had changed, why had Trey Brown gotten such improvement in his life? And so she explained, well, I've been giving him cannabis oil. And that's what led them to call Child Protective Services, and that's what has led to the child endangerment charges against this woman. Now, the other part that makes this so disgusting is that, number one, and Michael Hughes pointed this out and told us yesterday about this, number one, for a child endangerment charge, the reason that's usually brought about when there's a parent caught with weed or drugs of any kind is because of the inherent violence that you find in a prohibited market. Right? Drug dealers carry guns, and sometimes bad things go down. And if you have your kids around that, well, then you're a bad parent, right? That's the theory behind this. But what she had was a non-intoxicating cannabis oil. There's no way it would be involved in any drug deal going bad and wouldn't get anybody high, and was such a small amount, it doesn't even really match what the sentencing guidelines are for child endangerment in this case, or prosecution guidelines. And to make this worse, Minnesota passed a medical marijuana law that goes into effect in July of 2015. And this medical marijuana law includes traumatic brain injury as something you can get the medical marijuana for. And the medical marijuana law makes that exact cannabis oil that she got from Colorado, makes it perfectly legal. So in about 8 months, what she's been doing is going to be legal anyway. And yet this county wants to move forward with this. Michael Hughes told the court, quote, "In my opinion, it is science fiction to claim cannabis has no medical use in the United States," end quote. And he pointed out that there are 33 states that allow some sort of medical use. Now, the assistant county attorney, Rebecca Trapp, didn't challenge his motions. He filed a couple of motions to dismiss and told the judge she would file her written responses to the defense. Her responses are due January 2nd. And then Michael Hughes will be able to respond to them by January 9th. And then the court has 90 days to rule on whether or not it gets dismissed. So Angela Brown will be hanging out in limbo, worried about whether or not she's going to get prosecuted for treating her son with CBD oil for the next 3 months. In the meantime, she's thinking about moving to Colorado so she can treat her kid with cannabis there.
Don't you blaspheme in here! Don't you blaspheme in here!
Asked if she'd had any regrets, Angela Brown responded, quote, "I don't want any other mother to have to go through this. That's why I'm putting myself out there, because this is not me. This is absolutely not me in front of all these cameras, having all these people converge into my life. But if it helps one more person, isn't it worth it?" End quote. Angela Brown, Michael Hughes, my heroes for the week.
You can get 420 Radio on the go with our Shoutcast stream for all internet-enabled media players. Go to rad-r.us/420shout or just click the Shoutcast icon below the live radio feed at 420radio.org. Get .buzz. .buzz is the internet platform that fuels community interest, excitement, and new experiences. .buzz is the premier online destination for internet users seeking the latest news on a variety of topics. .buzz appeals to groups active in blogging, communications, journalism, advertising, and marketing. .buzz offers registrants a stronger alternative to the shrinking namespace of existing top-level domain names, such as .com, .net, and .org. Get your name now at get.buzz. The Hot Box Podcast, replaying Thursdays at 11 Pacific on 420radio.org. Hey, tokers and tokettes, Radical Russ here for the Canador, a practical solution to keep herbs from drying. The Canador is the perfect airtight storage system for your fine herbs, from the half-inch thick walnut and cherry wood construction, clear-top perforated jars for storage, and the humidity bead system that keeps your herbs at a perfect 65% relative humidity. I keep all my herbs in the Canador, and you should too. Check out Canador.com for more information. Arguing for the end of adult marijuana prohibition is easy because we have facts, science, reason, compassion, evidence, truth, and logic on our side. It is even easier when researchers catalog it all for us. Learn how to gather the facts on marijuana use, arrests, seizures, rehabs, drug tests, and more in this edition of Drug War Data Mining. Welcome back, everyone. 22 and a half after the hour. And today for the Drug War Data Mine, we visit the great resource O'Shaughnessy's. And O'Shaughnessy's is found in a lot of dispensaries and pot shops around the West Coast, I know for sure, and probably on the East Coast as well. You can find it online at beyondthc.com, beyondthc.com, and it's O'Shaughnessy's in print. Of course, named for the British doctor, O'Shaughnessy, who had visited India in the 1850s and brought back the information of its medical uses. And today we're going to take a look at a study they did called "All Vape Pen Oils Are Not Created Equal, A Quick and Easy User's Guide to Pre-Filled Cartridges" by Melinda Misuraka and Michael Hayes. And this couldn't come at a better time because vaporization, especially in the legal states, is becoming more and more popular for its ease of use, its convenience, its cleanliness, its surreptitiousness. They're easily hidden. They don't make a stink. A lot of people are turning to vapor pens. And so there are a lot of manufacturers of refill cartridges. Now, if you don't know, most of the vapor pens consist of a battery that is then, and I've got one here as an example, that you usually plug in. It's like USB charger here. And then you unscrew this, and what gets screwed onto the top there is a vape cartridge, you know, some cartridge that's going to have the cannabis oils in it. Now, vape, of course, is the Oxford Dictionary word of the year. Vaping has gotten the Hollywood limelight. Sarah Silverman flashed one on the red carpet. Whoopi Goldberg wrote about Sippy, her little one. Snoop Dogg's got one that's coming out. So everybody's looking at these vape pens. And for their study, O'Shaughnessy's looked at a total of 19 cannabis oil samples from 13 popular cartridge brands and did a side-by-side comparison based on analytical data from SC Labs in Santa Cruz.
and measuring everything in milligrams per milliliter and evening things out. And regarding these levels, let me get you a look at what they found in chart form. The best performing one that they had so far was the Pure Cure and Absolute Extracts that that topped out at 71% and 70% THC potency. Now, it's important to understand that some of these cartridges are just pure oil. Other cartridges are cut with an additive. And these two, Pure Cure and Absolute, are not cut. There's also OG Kush, Chem Dog, Girl Scout Cookies, as far as the Absolute Extracts versions goes. So they were only looking at the Chem Dog version that got up to the 70% level. And then another way, and so as we look down this list, you'll find that Open Vape, for example, their Panama Red is only coming in at around 21-22%. Some of these are on the lower end, 20, even down to a little over 10% in the case of Black Diamond. And as far as I'm concerned, with a vapor pen, it should be able to outperform flower. I mean, we are talking about concentrate here, and a lot of folks now can get flower in the 20% range. So as far as vapor pens go, I would prefer something that's a little stronger. Most of these pens that were sampled top out around 30%, and a lot of these have an additive with them. The additive can either be propylene glycol or ethylene glycol. Problem with propylene glycol is it's mostly benign, but it does kind of make a sore throat, give you a little bit of a dry mouth. Watch out for the ones and ask about them if they're using ethylene glycol, because that's unhealthy. That's something that you'd find in antifreeze. So make sure you're checking for that. Now, another variable to be looked at here is the fact that these different vapor pen cartridges can come in different amounts. That is, they can come in a 1 gram or a 500 milligram and so forth. So they took that information and did a cross comparison of what you were getting bang for the buck wise. And as you look at this, you can see they've color coded the chart. Blue would be the excellent price values. Yellow are good price values. Green are fair price values. Pink are poor price values. And as you can see, the THC rating is listed, but not necessarily does something have to have high THC to be a good value. Because depending on the size of the cartridge you're getting, 1,000 milligrams or 500 milligrams, or 750 in the case of liquid platinum, and comparative to what the cost is of that cartridge, you can then figure out what is the price per milligram of THC. So the best cartridges are coming up from a dime to 13 cents per milligram of THC. For instance, if you got that Pure Cure, the one that topped out at 71 or 71.72%, almost 72%, it's a half gram cartridge costing $40. So that works out to paying $11 or 11 cents per milligram of THC that you're getting. Compare that with something like Open Vape's Panama Red Sativa. While it comes in at a 25.29% THC in a half gram cartridge, it costs $30 and works out to 24 cents per milligram of THC. So over twice the cost of what you'd get with the Pure Cure. But even something with a low THC, like the Liquid Platinum Blueberry at 17%, costing $32 for a cartridge, you're getting a 1 gram cartridge and therefore better bang for the buck.
You can get 420 Radio on the go with the TuneIn Radio app for all mobile platforms. Go to rad-r.us/420TuneIn or just click the TuneIn Radio icon below the live radio feed on 420radio.org. The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, treat law enforcement with respect and stand up for your rights by repeating, "I respectfully invoke all of my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak with my attorney." Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web at omarfigueroa.com.
Tokers, there's no good reason to get your dog stoned. While it might not harm them physically, imagine being a dog who already begs for treats all day, and then imagine that dog having the munchies. Not cool.
Are you a hypocrite? If you live a closeted cannabis lifestyle, you are. Read about seven people living a closeted cannabis lifestyle who are on the verge of coming out in The Hypocrites by Mara K. Eaton. Available at areyouahypocrite.net. You can purchase the book on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, also available on iTunes. Check out Mara K. Eaton on Facebook as well. Learn more at areyouahypocrite.net.
One of the most disturbing elements of the Prohibition War is how it's made police the enemy of otherwise law-abiding cannabis consumers. Fortunately, one group of police officers knows the futility of Prohibition and reaches out to educate the community and current law enforcement. Today, the Russ Belville Show visits with another speaker from Law Enforcement Against Prohibition with one clear message. Cops say legalize drugs.
Welcome back, everyone. 31 after the hour, and joining us by telephone today for Cops Say Legalize Drugs, we've got Leo Lawrence, the former deputy sheriff. Welcome, Leo.
Welcome.
Hey,
good
thank
to
you.
Be on your show.
Thank you for being back here. It's your third time on the show. We appreciate you joining us, and especially during these times, as it seems like you can't turn on the news without hearing about policing in America. And before I got to any questions, I just was wondering what your thoughts might be on the recent stories that we've seen plastered throughout the news headlines.
Well, I think it's really unfortunate that we have a militarization of law enforcement at the local level. It's really not needed, and it's separating the police from the people that they are trying to protect. And it's local police do not need military-grade weapons to do their job.
Completely agreed. And Mr. Lawrence, can you give us an idea of how much the drug war has contributed to militarizing our police forces?
Oh, a major, major impact. Conservative estimates are that if we legalize and regulate all drugs, that we can boost the U.S. economy by $88 billion, with a B, dollars. That's a lot of money.
Yeah, even these days, it's still a lot of money. And it's something we know that Law Enforcement Against Prohibition has always promoted, is, you know, ending prohibition and replacing it with a realistic system of taxation and regulation. What I'm curious, though, is the cultural aspect of this drug war. A lot of what we're looking at is cries from the African-American community that there's a different system of justice, that police treat them differently. And I'm wondering how much the drug war has contributed to that police culture.
Oh, I in a major, major way. There have been surveys done, and 3 out of 4 American voters believe that the war on drugs is a total failure. And what's even more interesting is that the National Association of Chiefs of Police, which is a major organization, in their survey, they found that 82% of the police chiefs and sheriffs say that the war on drugs has not been successful in reducing drug use. And we believe in LEAP to have what we call legalized regulation. And that's where we decide when, how, where, and why drugs are sold. And the main reason is it significantly reduces crime.
Absolutely. Now, I'm curious, though, with respect to that feeling amongst, you know, communities of color, that there's a different system of justice, that there's different policing going on.
Oh, there is.
If we were to legalize,
there's no question about it.
If we were to legalize, as Leap proposes, do you think that will go a long way toward changing that, or is there just going to be other excuses?
Major, because there are so many people are incarcerated today in local jails and state prisons for minor drug offenses. And in California, sometimes people are picked up and they have one joint on them, and they call that a strike. And then they end up sending them to prison for the rest of their lives on a third strike. And I really believe that if we had legalized regulation, and this would be important especially in minority communities where drug use is unfortunately rather high, that's where we would decide when, where, and how, and why all drugs are sold. And we already know from what they have done in Europe that that will significantly reduce crime. However, the senior law enforcement people, many police chiefs and sheriffs, get a significant amount of their budget for this so-called war on drugs. So they're opposed, many of them are opposed, to abolishing the war on drugs.
Exactly. We're speaking with Leo Lawrence. He's a former deputy sheriff with Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. And let's look at things on the other side of the badge now, in the police culture. Oftentimes when we're looking at the citizens, there's especially when we talk about gangs or criminal enterprises, there's the saying, snitches get stitches, this idea that you shouldn't snitch on each other. And the law enforcement, you know, says that's one of the troublesome parts of trying to do policing, is that people won't cooperate with the police because of this attitude. And yet when we have these high profile actions of police against citizens, like the Michael Brown case or Tamir Rice, police are quick to rally and circle the wagons and protect their own, rather than, you know, calling out those cops that are making them look bad. How much of the drug war causes that sort of mindset, that thin blue line, that code of silence that exists within police departments?
Yes, and that is one of the problems that we have in combating the militarization of law enforcement. Many law enforcement officers are former military, so they're accustomed to a military culture. But when you're wearing a badge and you're on patrol, you're not in the military. And the people on the street are not the enemy. But there are too many people, too many officers who believe that they are. That especially minority people. And I have seen it myself where they'll have three or four black people on a corner, and they're not doing anything wrong, but they'll get hassled because, well, they're probably on probation, so let's bust them.
Right.
So it's to change the police culture is going to take a major effort. And I'm delighted to see that the Department of Justice is beginning to look at that. They're studying the police department in Ferguson. They're beginning to look and say, wait a minute, there's something really seriously wrong here. I remember as a kid, we used to think that if you had a question about something, you could always go up and ask an officer. Mm-hmm. Especially minority people don't do that now. And that's really unfortunate. It's difficult to change a culture. And law enforcement culture seriously needs to be changed, especially as it relates to blacks, to Latinos, to Asians. And that's going to take a major effort.
Some experts, some people, including President Obama, are looking at the idea of police body cameras to be worn. Other people talk about increasing the diversity of police departments or requiring officers to live in the cities they police. Are these suggestions you would go along with? And do you have any others that might help to change that culture?
Well, one thing we would need to do is to change our police academies. Change how we teach law enforcement officers. And that's going to be tough. Now, body cameras, I think they're a fantastic idea. The rogue officers, the ones who engage in unlawful conduct, aren't going to like them because those cameras are going to catch their rogue conduct. And yes, there is a culture of, well, you never speak ill of another officer. And in some ways, that was good. I remember when I was wearing a badge, I could always expect other officers to watch my back. And when you're out there and you might be facing somebody who's doing some serious stuff and you might get shot at, that's really important. Now, if there's anybody who wants to explore this further, then I can give my phone number and email address so people can contact me directly if you'd like.
Sure, let's do that, Leo.
All right, phone number is area code 619-757-4909. The email address is leopowerhere@msn.com, spelling L-E-O, P as in Paul, O-W-E-R, H-E-R-E at MSN.com. And I would encourage your listeners to contact me.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Leo, for giving us that information and for your service, not only as a police officer, but now with law enforcement against prohibition, which I think is one of the most important groups fighting for responsible drug policies in America and now throughout the world. I understand you got some foreign branches as well. Thanks for joining us again, and good luck on all your future endeavors.
And thank you for letting us be on your show. Yes, we've got 100,000 members worldwide in 80 countries.
Well, that's good to hear. And like I say, some of my favorite police officers work for law enforcement against prohibition, and I don't know that I have any favorites that don't. So thank you for being with us.
All right,
folks, stay tuned. When we come back, we are going to have time for a radical rant. We're going to ask, if it's legal now, can we stop treating it like it's evil? You won't believe the restrictions they've got in Washington State if you want to advertise your pot business. The short answer, you pretty much can't. We'll give you the long answer when we come back. But first, the anti-drug PSA of the day features Johnny Depp. Stay tuned.
To the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
You can get 420 Radio on the go with the Ustream video app for Android and iPhone. Go to rad-r.us/420Ustream or just click the Ustream app icon for Android or iPhone below the live radio feed at 420radio.org.
You know Herb Thrasher from the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. Now get ready for Herb Age Designs for the proud cannabis consumer. Herb Age Designs, lifestyle gear for the 420 friendly. Herb Age Designs, we've got frisbee golf discs and durable hemp gear. Herb Age Designs, we've got shot glasses, drinking glasses, coffee mugs, and beer cozies. Check us out on Facebook and online at herbagedesigns.com. And follow Herb Age and Herb Thrasher on Twitter.
In the interest of fair and balanced journalism, the Russ Belville Show presents the anti-drug public service announcement of the day.
Hi, I'm Johnny Depp of 21 Jump Street. I don't know a whole lot about AIDS, but I want to introduce you to a couple of guys who do. Dr. Robert Wyndham, the Assistant Secretary for Health, and the Surgeon General of the United States, Dr. C. Everett Koop.
There are a number of ways to catch AIDS. Casual contact is not one of them, but sexual contact is. If you are not going to abstain or not going to maintain a faithfully monogamous relationship, you can reduce the chance of contracting AIDS if you use a condom. But remember, they may not be 100% effective.
And people with AIDS need a helping hand. Reading, running errands, the little everyday things that we take for granted become almost impossible to do.
Listen, AIDS is very serious and very dangerous. Get involved in your community. Learn all you can. Call 1-800-342-AIDS. Thank you.
This has been the anti-drug public service announcement of the day. To cure this sort of reefer madness, listen to the Russ Belville Show every weekday on 420radio.org.
When you are starting up a medical cannabis business, you want a fired-up lawyer who understands the needs of cannabis consumers. The Law Office of Lauren Vasquez is your fired-up lawyer for the cannabis industry. Visit her website, fireduplawyer.com, or call 1-855-MMJ-LAWS for more information. That's 855-665-5297 for Lauren Vasquez, your fired-up lawyer, or email fireduplawyer@gmail.com.
Handle the truth.
Entirely legitimate topic for debate.
You have offended my family.
Hey, this is great, man.
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
I know nothing.
I support a change in law to end federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
We don't need no stinking budget.
How in the century do you have learned the meaning out of the words, we, the people?
Be warned, this is not your mother's marijuana.
You could ask yourself a question, do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
I want to ask you a bunch of questions, and I want to have them answered immediately.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
Radical Rant.
Welcome back, everyone. 48 after the hour, and today we're just going to continue on with a theme that I've been talking about for the past few days, and that is, now that marijuana is legal, can we, you know, start to treat it like it's a legal substance? That it's okay for adults to be able to use it? I mean, it's just ridiculous how this is continuing to be treated, especially in states that have had medical marijuana for years now. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me, but... there's a quote that I was trying to find here. I don't know if I'll be able to find it, but it was the new head. I guess we're going to call him the Oregon Pot Czar. And the Oregon Pot Czar had a quote where he's basically said, you know, now that it's legal, let's stop hiding it behind walls and doors. And I thought that was just brilliant. Now that it's legal, let's stop hiding it behind walls and doors, because we keep getting story after story of parents, usually parents, all upset that marijuana might be seen, that we might know that there's marijuana in existence, that there might be a store somewhere near a child somehow. A child might see that marijuana exists and that it's okay for adults to use it. Oh, no. So with that in mind, I wanted to take a look today at Washington State, just north of me. And I'm taking a look right now at the LIQ, L-I-Q, dot WA, Washington. .gov website. liq.wa.gov. In fact, I'll paste this in the chat room just in case you want to follow along, because I know how much y'all love to do that. These are their frequently asked questions about I-502 advertising. What is allowed to be advertised? You're an owner of a pot shop. You want to open up a legal pot shop selling a legal product to adults 21 and older. Here are some of the rules you have to abide by. Number one, you only get one sign outside your store. A sign. The sign is limited to 1,600 square inches. So what, 40 inches by 20 inches? Or is that, no, 80 by 20. Or 40 by 40, right? So think about a yard. A yard's 36 inches, right? So if you think about a meter. So about a meter square is as big as your sign can be. If it's going to be, it can be outside the business, on the wall. It can be hanging in the windows. Limited to a yard, a meter square. It may have the licensee's business name or trade name on it. That's it. Russ's Pot Shop. That's it. That's all I can say. As far as advertising goes, advertising and labels on marijuana and marijuana-infused products may not contain any statement or illustration that is false or misleading, promotes overconsumption, or represents that marijuana has curative or therapeutic effects. Yes, in Washington State, if you go into a pot shop, a legal pot shop, and you say something to the effect of, hey, you know, I was interested in buying some marijuana. There's so many strains here. You know, I have trouble sleeping at night. You got anything here that's good for insomnia? They can't tell you. They are legally forbidden from mentioning whether or not an indica or a sativa would make you more sleepy, or recommending a particular one. They cannot in any way advertise or display that marijuana has any curative or therapeutic effects. Of course, they can't depict a child or anyone underage in their advertising. That's fine. Can't depict toys, characters, or cartoon characters, anything appealing to children. All right, I'm fine with that. But then, of course, you also cannot advertise, place an advertisement that contains any advertisement for marijuana or marijuana-infused products through any medium whatsoever within 1,000 feet of the perimeter of a school grounds, playground, recreation center or facility, child care center, public park, library, or game arcade, in a public transit vehicle or public transit shelter, or publicly owned or operated property. Can't put up an ad in the bus. No bus ads. Can't be 1,000 feet within any kid in any way, anytime. Libraries, parks, game arcades, rec centers, child care centers. And this is through any medium whatsoever. So you got to figure television advertising is out, because your ad might show on a television that is somewhere within 1,000 feet of a child. Same with radio advertising. This is from their official fact. Television and radio, of course, carry across state lines as well as places where children can see or hear. They don't say not to do it, but they say, you know, kids might see it or hear it. So forget about TV or radio ads. Print ads? Couldn't a newspaper end up near a child? Well, according to the Liquor Control Board, they say, although print media, such as newspapers, are often delivered to locations at or near schools, the Liquor Control Board does not intend to enforce the 1,000-foot buffer for newspaper advertising, as long as the advertising does not violate other provisions of I-502. How about internet advertising? How is internet different than print medium, newspapers and such, right? I'd argue that the internet advertising is actually more restrictive because, you know, the kid could be along with you when you go into the restaurant where they've got the stack of Seattle weeklies that are free for anyone to read. Kid might be able to get to that, but to get to the internet website, well, it depends. Are they going to your website where they have to say they're 21 and older, or are you advertising on just Google AdWords? So, yeah. Not only are you limited in where you can advertise, but you really can't advertise. You can't say what the pot does. How about your company vehicle? Could you put the name of your pot shop on your company vehicle? Nope. A mobile vinyl-wrapped vehicle could easily violate law which prohibits licensees from placing advertising within 1,000 feet of any of the restricted areas set forth in I-502. I suppose you could technically do it. You could wrap your vehicle with your advertising and use Google Maps to plan a route for you that takes you only to places that are 1,000 feet. You know, the entire route is only within 1,000 feet of any of those restricted areas, I suppose. You just find a map with all the parks and libraries and schools, and then you could draw your little map of where you're allowed to drive. So these are the restrictions that we're putting on pot shops that are nowhere near as restrictive, that are much more restrictive, I should say, than how we would restrict a strip club. I see ads for strip clubs and see ads for sex talk lines on the TV. Yeah, usually they're later at night. When you drive by a strip club, it usually has lots of signage on it. So, yeah, apparently pornography doesn't have as much restrictions as pot. Other things that are banned. Giveaways, coupons, and distribution of branded merchandise. You can't have Russ's Pot Shop t-shirts for sale. You can't have Russ's Pot Shop glasses. Now, you can have nug jars because that's a container and that's paraphernalia. You're allowed to sell paraphernalia. So you can have Russ's Pot Shop pipes and Russ's Pot Shop bongs and Russ's Pot Shop lighters, maybe. You know, paraphernalia, something you use to use the marijuana. But no t-shirts, can't sell stickers, no hats. Now, you can have a separate business that sells t-shirts, stickers, and hats of Russ's Pot Shop. But Russ's Pot Shop can't sell them. The Russ's Pot Shop store can, but not Russ's Pot Shop. Here's some other stuff. All advertising has to have the following four warnings. This product has intoxicating effects and may be habit-forming. Marijuana can impair concentration, coordination, and judgment. Do not operate a vehicle or machinery under the influence of this drug. There may be health risks associated with consumption of this product. And for use only by adults 21 and older, keep out of the reach of children. All right, now at one end, you might say, well, look, there's a label on a beer that says, you know, pregnant women shouldn't drink it. And there's a label on cigarette pack. Has warnings on it. So warnings on pot stuff, maybe that's no big deal. They've got, can I use models, costume characters, and sign twirlers? Yes, but costume characters can't be cartoons that would appeal to children. What else do we got in here? Advertising restrictions. Inserts cannot include coupons. You're not allowed to coupon. You can't advertise at community college or university publications due to a significant portion of that demographic being under the age of 21. So if you're trying to hire young college-age people, you can't advertise in the school newspaper. Can't do that because there's too many freshmen that are 18 years old or something. You can't have delivery trucks with your brand name on it because, again, it might drive near a school at some point. You can't sell wellness products. Like, you couldn't sell ginkgo biloba as well. The only things you're allowed to sell is marijuana and paraphernalia. And that does not include blenders or extractors. You couldn't buy a magical butter machine in a dispensary or in a pot shop in Washington because that does not fall under the definition of paraphernalia. So these are all these ridiculous restrictions. Could your window have a marijuana leaf on it? No, because you're only allowed to have a 1 meter square sign, 1600 square inch sign, and displaying a marijuana leaf would count as usable marijuana. So you can't put pot leaves on your outside paint. For example, painting a leaf, pipe, etc. on the building would be a violation. So some people are trying to paint their building to advertise. Can't do that. Can the front area display an image of a flowering plant or the graphic of the chemical composition of the plant? No. Can a retailer use the window front area to announce an adult-only event or sponsored charity? No. Can a retailer use the front area to design an appealing message in graphic design or a company tagline? No. 1,600 inch square sign, that's it.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
That's all the time we got for hour one. Stay tuned for hour two. We'll talk more about these advertising restrictions in Toker Talk Radio. For everyone here at 420 Radio, I'm Radical Russ. Until next time, take care of each other, Tokers.